Good morning and welcome to Christ Church. My name is Jason Cullum. I'm one of the pastors around here, and it's so good to see you back for another week on our journey towards freedom. And this week, we're talking about this idea of discovery, which is a really, really important step in our journey. Now, if you're with us last week, we talked about awareness. Awareness was step number one. And we talked about the most difficult kind of awareness in our life is self-awareness. And we kind of zeroed in on those things in our life that are called blind spots. And what we all learned last week is that we all have a big, giant gorilla dancing in the middle of our lives. And let me just say this. I got a lot of emails and text messages about that gorilla last week. I did not doctor the video, all right? He was there from the very beginning. You just didn't see him. But that's the whole point. So many times in our life, we're unaware of what's going on, that there are things in our life that are hurting us and hurting the people around us. And here's the deal. The reason we're unaware so many times is because we are living in a hurried pace. Man, we are just living going at a supersonic speed. And when you're going that fast, there's no way you can be aware of those blind spots in your life. And so we talked about kind of downshifting our life so that we can be aware of what God is doing. So that was step number one, being aware. Step two is discovery. And I discovered something about myself this week. You see, I went back to the gym for the very first time in 4 months this week. That's right, first time in 4 months. Man, oh man. Ann and I were in an accident in October and couldn't go through a good part of last year and then the fast and Christmas and all that. And so went back this week. And holy, I walked through the doors and the trainer started laughing as I walked through the doors. If that gives you any clue on what my day was like the first day back. I mean, I was in this thing for 10 minutes, in this boot camp for 10 minutes. I am laying on the ground begging for mercy. And the trainer comes over and going, what's wrong? I go, man, that's a tough workout. He goes, workout? That's just the warm-up. I'm like, oh, no, don't tell me that. So for 45 minutes, I mean, this guy is supposed to be encouraging me. He wasn't encouraging, all right? He was laughing at me the whole entire time. And after the end of 45 minutes, we're almost to the end. My legs were like jello. My arms felt like spaghetti. He said, we're going to finish up with this last little cycle of a couple different exercises. And once you start over there at the incline bench press, I'm like, all right. And we kind of buddied up and had two people per every station. And he looked at me and he looked at the weight rack. He said, see those pink weights over there? Why don't you grab those? And I'm a man, all right? I'm a guy's guy, all right? I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, 15 pounders. That's all you can handle. He was right, all right? He was right. I'm like, oh! But what made it worse is the lady who was next to me, who was like 20 years older than I was, she's just slamming 30s like that, boom. I'm like, oh my goodness. I finished a workout, and I laid on the ground for 10 minutes and didn't move. People come by, are you okay? I'm like, leave me alone, leave me alone. You see, I discovered something about myself last week. I am out of shape. And not just out of shape, way out of shape. And so you see, this whole idea of discovery is learning something about yourself. And the whole process of discovery, many times it happens when we face a difficult time in our life, or we face a testing moment in our life, or we get to the end of ourselves and we don't know what to do or where to go. That's when we discover who we are. And so we began this journey talking about awareness, that we need to pull back the cushions to our life and look down in there and see what's in there, look in our heart to see what's going on in our hearts. And we realize that there's some stuff that we need to work on. There's a little bit of mess in our life. There's a sin in our life. There's an activity in our life. There's a pattern of behavior in our life that we need to address. But let me just say this right now. It's okay to not be okay. Me too, all right? Me too. We all got some stuff under the cushions of our life. We all got some mess that we need to work on. But understand this. It's not okay to pretend that everything is okay. I mean, don't put on the mask. You know, don't fake it until you make it. Don't act like everything's good. Don't try to fool everybody else, because the reality is you're only fooling yourself. And so as long as your desire to hide is greater than your desire to transform, then nothing will happen in your life. And so we start with this whole idea of awareness. Become aware of something in your life. You go, man, I need to tackle this. I need to do something about this. And so if I go to church and if I join a neighborhood group and if I do this freeway series and if I do all these things in my life that I know I'm supposed to be doing, and if I give all this stuff to God, then man, my life is going to be smooth sailing from here on out. I mean, how many of us have ever said, man, if I just go to church and make better decisions, then God's just going, it's just all going to work out. I mean, I've been listening to the Eagles a lot the last couple weeks. You know, maybe it's Glenn Frey and, you know, just remembering some of those great songs they sang. You know, one of my songs I've been listening to, I've Got a Peaceful, Easy Feeling. You know that one? You know, it's just one of those songs you just want to walk around going, I've got a peaceful, easy feeling. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know the words and I'm, you know, but isn't that what we all want? We all want that peaceful, easy feeling in life. I know I do, but sometimes the feeling I have is stressed out, burnt out, fried out. That's the feeling I have. And so sometimes we get to the point in life, we don't know what to do, where to go. We say, you know what? It's time I go to church. It's time I go to Jesus. And we come and we give our life to Jesus, and he gives us a new beginning, a fresh start. He gives us forgiveness, and we become a child of God. We say, man, things are going to be great. Things are moving in the right direction finally in my life. And man, I am so excited, and this is what I've always wanted. This is the freedom I've been looking for. And then life happens. And then something enters your life, and you start to worry again. Or something's placed in front of you, and you're like, man, I got to have that. Or maybe just the wheels just come off, and your life just sort of derails. And you're going, God, this is not the freeway. I mean, this is not the plan I thought you had for me. I mean, what's going on here, God? Is this what you really want from my life? I mean, I don't feel like I'm on the path to freedom. I feel like I'm walking in the wilderness. You see, sometimes it gets difficult. And let me just give us all a bit of wisdom in here, okay? Sometimes it will get harder before it will get easier on this journey to freedom. It will. And if you get this awareness in your life, you go, man, I need this, I want this, I need to identify this, say, I'm going to give it to God sometimes, it doesn't get easier first. Sometimes it gets harder, more difficult. So in those moments, don't give up. Don't give in. Trust what God is doing in your life, how he's molding you and shaping you, because you are discovering not only who you are, but you're discovering who he is and what he's doing in your life. You see, in those moments of testing, when you and I get bumped in life, then we discover who we really are. And so today I want to look at this really incredible snapshot from Jesus' life. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Love for you to follow along with me. And as we jump into this story, it is the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He finally decides it's time to start this plan to save the world. And so he's about 30 years old. And so he decides, I'm going to begin my public ministry. And he decides to begin that with this important first step. He decides to go down and get baptized. And so let's pick up the story, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Wow. I mean, this is an epic moment. God himself speaks. His voice booms out of heaven. This is my son. I am pleased with him. And the Holy Spirit comes down out of heaven in the form of a dove and lands on his shoulders. I mean, Jerry Bruckheimer, eat your heart out, right? I mean, Hollywood has got nothing on this scene. This is an incredible moment in Jesus' life. But I want you to see what happens the very next moment. In the very next sentence, after Jesus has this incredible spiritual moment with God, listen to what happens next. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus had a peaceful, easy feeling. No, not so much. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Now, that doesn't sound like a very good thing to me right there. There are several things that aren't good there, all right? Wilderness, tempted, and the devil, all right? I want the peaceful, easy feeling, right? But what's happening is God is literally leading him into this time of the wilderness so he can be tested. And what happens during the time of testing? Well, we discover who we are. We discover who God is. And we all grow in the wilderness. So let's continue. Verse 2, for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very, very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. And so what's the deal here? Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. He is hungry. He is starving. I mean, he has been focused on prayer and liquids and not eating a single thing. So he is legitimately very, very hungry. And in this scene, it says that the devil comes to him and he tempts him. He says, hey, here's what I want you to do. See those stones? Turn those stones to bread. You see, he knows that if he does this, Jesus does, that he's going to shortchange God's timing. He's going to shortcut what God is trying to do in his life. And listen, sometimes God leads us into the wilderness. And until we learn the lesson of that season, we will remain in the wilderness. We will not move on to something else until we learn the lesson of that season in our lives. And so maybe if you're in a wilderness moment and if you're like me, you start asking the why question. I mean, God, why is this happening to me? God, why is my check engine light coming on? God, why can't I seem to get ahead in my career? God, why are my finances like they are? God, why can't I find the right guy? Why can't I find the right girl? Why can't I find a different guy? Why can't I find a different girl? I mean, God, why is my life falling apart? We ask the why question. And here's what I want to propose. When we're in the wilderness, there's a more important question to ask. It's what? God, what do you want me to learn in this season? God, what do you want me to learn as I am in the wilderness? God, what do you want me to learn right now in this season so I can be prepared for the next season in my life? God, I'm here. God, I am open. I am ready to learn. What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to discover about myself? You see, that's what this whole discovery process is all about, discovering who we are, who God is, and what he's doing in our lives. And so as Jesus is in this wilderness moment, as he's being tempted, let me share with you three things that I believe we can learn from this moment in our lives when we are looking for discovery in a time of testing. And number one, we see, first and foremost, that we need to trust God's provision. Jesus challenges us to trust God's provision in the wilderness. In the testing times of your lives, learn to trust God's provision. You see, Jesus was facing a test. This week I went online and found some test questions that teachers have asked kids and how some kids answered some of these questions. And I thought they were pretty good, but let me share a couple with you. And they're a little blurry, but I'll explain them to you. Question number 8 says, is this number even or odd? And the number is the number 6, I believe. And the answer is, even is what the kid wrote. Question 7 says, how do you know? And they responded, because I'm smart. You know that was a guy. You know that was a boy right there answering that question, right? Okay, here's the next one. I love this. This is cute. What is your favorite hue? Jackman is his answer. Wolverine, you know what I mean? That's funny. I like that one. Here's the next one. This one cracked me up. This is the cause and effect. Here's the cause. Tony practices the piano 20 minutes every day. What's the effect? He's a big nerd. Oh, that's great. That's great. And I found this next one. I thought I'd throw this in just for the fun of it. Is there enough information in the table to estimate the length of a day on Jupiter? The answer is bacon. Give a reason for your answer. Bacon is always the answer. Thank goodness the fast is over. It is the answer. All right, here's one last one. This is good. This is Frankie, and he's filling in a blank here. I earn money at home by, and he answers, I don't. And then he said, why? Because I am a freeloader. That's why. I'm a freeloader. I mean, there's some dads out there going, amen. I wonder if that was my kid answered that question. Some of you go, my kid's 30 and he's still a freeloader. He's not learned his lessons yet. Well, kids, here's the deal, all right? Nothing makes your parents happier than when you're grateful for what they provide for you. And nothing makes a parent more frustrated than when you are ungrateful for what they provided for you. And so here is Jesus. He's been in the desert for 40 days now. He is hungry. He's starving. He is hungry on a whole completely different level. Not hungry like you and me. I mean, I know it's almost lunchtime. Anybody hungry in here? Some of you hungry? All right. Okay, think about this. Krispy Kreme donut. Hot now, all right? Just come right off, melts in your mouth. Now we're all hungry. But that's not the type of hunger Jesus had. That's the hunger that we can walk right out and take care of. But Jesus is hungry on a whole different level. And listen, doctors have done research. They've done studies on fasting. And yes, it is possible to fast for 40 days. In fact, I had a friend of mine that did this one time. He fasted for 40 days. His name was Paul. And oh my goodness, watching what his body went through, it was incredible, because when you fast like that, only liquids for 40 days, your body literally begins to eat itself for energy. I mean, it starts by eating through all your fat, then it eats through your muscle tissue, and then begins to actually eat your muscles. And so that's where Jesus was. Jesus was hungry on a completely different level. And Satan comes in this moment and tries to exploit his weakness. He says, you know what? Why don't you take the dependence off of God and put it on yourself? Why don't you go ahead and turn these stones to bread? You know you're hungry. And listen to what Jesus says in verse 4. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He quotes scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And here's what you're going to notice as we go through this. Every time that he is tested, he responds back with scripture. I mean, he has stored the word of God in his heart. Listen, when you are in the wilderness, when you're facing times of testing in your life, when things have gotten harder before they get easier, you need to store up the word of God in your heart. You need to know it. You need to memorize it. You need to read it. You need to repeat it. You need to say it day in and day out. I mean, that's what Jesus does. I mean, he's tempted, and he's in the wilderness, and he says, let me tell you what the Bible says. And just the words of Deuteronomy 8 just roll off his tongue. Trust God's provision. You see, he's referring back to the Israelites who were in their own wilderness, and they had no food, and God provided this miraculous bread called manna. God provided daily for their needs. He provided for them when they had nothing. God provided. He took care of his kids. They obeyed, and he provided. And listen, I know some of you right now are in a wilderness season. I know, and some of you are wondering, you're not sure how you're going to make ends meet, or maybe the check engine light has come on in your car, and you go, I'm not looking at that. You know, if you ever happened to you see the light come on, you're like, ooh, I'm not going to look at that. I'm just going to act like it's not on, you know, and you're just driving your car like, everything's just fine. This is normal. Everything's good. And you're driving like this or down the street. And you go, hey, this is normal. This is normal. This is what's going on. This is how it always is. You know what that is? Denial. It's denial. You're in denial that your car is being held together with duct tape and Bondo and strapping wire, you know? And you're going, man, Jason, I'm not worried about getting to next month. I'm not worried about getting to next week. I just want to get to tomorrow. And I get that. I've talked to a lot of you guys. I mean, financially, I mean, you sit down and talk, and you say, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I know how I'm going to make ends meet. I don't have to pay rent. I don't have to provide for my family. And so when you're tempted, when you're in that moment, trust God's provision. Don't take a shortcut. Trust that he's going to provide. Or maybe you're in a moment right now of any relationships in life, and maybe you're worried and you're being tempted. Man, trust that God is going to provide. I mean, listen to what Jesus says two chapters later. He says this in chapter 6. He says, so don't worry. Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? I mean, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Trust God's provision when you're in the wilderness. And here's the second thing I think we learned from Jesus in this whole season of discovery. We need to jump toward God, not away. Jump towards God, not away. Man, I was messing around on the internet the other day and I found this prank. It's called the bungee jump prank. Don't know if you've ever seen it. Those are three words that should never be together. All right? Bungee jump prank should never, ever happen. It was the most awful thing that I've ever seen in my life, but I had to watch it, all right? Because basically, you know what bungee jumping is. They kind of strap your legs together and they tie you to like a rubber band. And then literally you're on this bridge. It's like 300, 400 feet above like water or ground or whatever. And then you jump off and you're like ding, ding. You kind of bounce around, all right? Well, how this prank went is there's this guy, evidently friends, maybe not anymore, but a friend who they got strapped into the bungee jump and they start counting them down. 3, 2, 1. And then at 1, they yell, stop. But it's too late, all right? Listen, I got a picture of this, okay? They yell stop as he is going back. As he's falling back, they're going stop, they're screaming stop, and some guy runs up with a bungee cord that's not tied on and goes, it's not tied on! Oh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine being the one jumping off in that moment going, oh, boy, you know? I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't believe the guy didn't have a heart attack on the way down and died from being scared to death. But that is the bungee jump prank. Man, do not ever do that, all right? That is wrong on so many levels. But Jesus goes through this jump prank, so to speak, with the devil. Listen to what happens next, verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you. And they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Now, I don't know if this jumped out to you, but it jumped out to me this week. Did you see what Satan did? Satan quoted scripture. Did you see that? He knows, all right, boom, there's some scripture for you. You see, that's why it's so important for you and I to know the word, because our enemy will twist the word. So we've got to know the word. Think on that for a moment here. So what's going on here? I mean, once again, Satan's trying to shortchange God's timing. I mean, here's what's going on. He says, hey, jump off this temple. I mean, if you really are the Son of God, the angels will swoop in and grab you and everyone will see this. I mean, you will immediately be declared the Messiah, the chosen one, the one that's come to save us all. Because they're at the temple, the center of life in Jerusalem. All the religious leaders would have been there. All the people would have been there for worship. And they would have seen everything going on. And ultimately what he's trying to do here is not only test his identity, but trying to move forward God's timeline and what God wanted to do. And I find it so interesting that in our own way, we kind of do the same thing. When we face temptation, sometimes what we do is we want to kind of advance God's timing in our life, move ahead of God, move ahead of what God is trying to do. We can test God. And so that's what's going on. That's the temptation. But listen to what Jesus says. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. So once again, Jesus fires right back with more scripture. Don't test God. You see, if we're not careful, we can live lives that are constantly putting God to the test. I mean, we can act irresponsibly. We can do irresponsible things and say, you know what? It's okay. God will work it all out. I mean, have you ever heard somebody say, you know, I mean, I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't do this, but it's all right. God's going to just forgive me anyway. You see what I found in times of testing? A lot of times when we get tested, when we get tempted, a lot of times there's something bright and shiny that we really want. It's placed right in front of us. I mean, I need more money. I want more money. And if I just, you know, trim the rules a little bit, then I can have more money. And so what do? We jump. I mean, I can reveal this really bad secret about somebody with just a touch of my finger. And yeah, it'll really hurt her, but you know what? She deserves it. And so you jump. Or there's this new bright, shiny toy that you've always wanted. Yeah, so I don't have the resources for this, but you know what? I've got credit. Besides, it's my money anyway. I can do whatever I want, and you jump. Or you know what the Bible says about sex before marriage? And you say, you know what? I don't care. I mean, if it feels so good, how can it be wrong? And so you just jump. Listen, when we're tempted, there's always two voices in our head. There's always one voice saying, hey, don't do this. Don't do this because this could really, really hurt. But then there's this other voice. And the other voice sometimes seems so much louder, say, hey, go for it, do it. You deserve this. And besides, you know what? Even if it's wrong, God will forgive you and make it right. And we just jump away from God. Listen, God will provide for you, but he's not going to provide for you if you're living beyond your means. He's not going to provide for you if you're living outside of his will for your life. And when we make those decisions, there are consequences. There's pain that comes along with that. Well, I've had friends of mine who have been looking for a job, and they say, you know what, God's going to bring me a job. So cool. I mean, you got your resume together. I mean, you're going knocking on doors. Nope. I'm just sitting on the couch watching my soaps. God's going to plop it right in my lap. I'm like, oh, really, is he? You know, and I get the heart of that. But isn't that testing God? You see, sometimes we just got to do what we can do and trust God to do only what he can do. And so Satan comes along to Jesus and says, hey, irresponsibly, just jump. I mean, just jump. And if you really are the Son of God, if that's really who you are, then angels are going to swoop in. You're not going to splat on the ground in front of all these people. And Jesus says, don't put your God to the test. Listen to what it says about dealing with Satan and temptation back in the book of James. It says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Listen, if you want more joy in your life, jump towards him, not away. If you want more peace in your life, jump towards God, not away. You want more love in your life, jump towards God, not away. Are you jumping towards him or are you jumping away from him? You see, one is a step of faith and the other is just a fall. Are you jumping towards him or away? And so in the wilderness, Jesus is teaching us several important things about discovery. One, we got to trust God no matter what. Number two, we got to jump towards God, not away. And number three, worship God alone. Worship God alone. I mean, my kids, man, God bless them. They're teenagers, you know, and God bless all you parents of teenagers, you know, and I love them to death. They've given me countless hours of great material up here on the stage. You know, and Eli over there, thanks, Walker, you know, and I love that part of our rule in our house is if you get in trouble, I get to share it. So, I mean, that's kind of the rule in our house. And so, I mean, a little peer pressure sometimes, but I mean, my youngest Silas, I mean, he's just a fun kid and goofy. And when he was about 7, 8 years old, I remember one night he was playing in his bedroom and it was late. It was a school night. And I walked in and I said, hey, man, you need to put everything away. It's time for you to go to bed. And he kind of paused and he looked up to me and he said, you're not the boss of me. I was like, excuse me? What? Did that just come out of your mouth? You know, remember the cartoons when the guy like turns every shade of red then purple, you know, and like fire comes out of the eyes and smoke out of the ears? I'm like, oh, it's on now, buddy. It is on. Let me just explain to you, son, the hierarchy of your life, okay? There is God, there is Jesus, there's the Holy Spirit, and then there is me. I am your dad. I am the boss of you. And then he said, no, you're not. Mom is. I mean, the kid had a point, all right? I mean, and so in that moment, I'm like, I'm so angry that I can't make a thought come together, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say. And then he responded by saying this next phrase, and she's the boss of you too. He's right, you know? I mean, and so you parents, you know those moments that you're so mad on the outside and inside you're cracking up. And so I just said, you know what? Put it away or I'm going to go get your mother in here, all right? And sometimes in life, I forget who my ultimate boss is. You know, I'm not talking about Ann. I'm talking about God. You know, I mean, sometimes in my life, I let everything in my life just orbit around me, around what I want, what I need, what's happening in my life. And let me tell you, that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for frustration and discouragement and tension in your life. And what I've learned that when you let your life orbit around God, I mean, everything just seems to come into alignment. I mean, when I go to work, you know, I go with a heart to serve, not be served. And I look for opportunities to love God and love others. And when I go to my family, I go to my family with a different heart, a different attitude. I look for opportunities to love and to serve and to encourage instead of counting the times that someone hasn't loved and encouraged and supported me. You know what I'm talking about? I think we all do. We all know that tension in our life. And so Satan comes along to Jesus and says, hey, man, this is all about power. This is about control. This is all about, you know, no longer trusting God, but putting the trust in yourself, making it all about you. And so look at what it says next here in verse 8. It says, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Just worship me. You know, when I read that, I can't help but think of Empire Strikes Back. I can't help but think about that moment where Darth Vader is fighting Luke Skywalker. You know what I'm talking about? Luke, I am your father. Join me, join the dark side. You can have all the power you've ever wanted. No, you know that scene? I mean, that's what I picture going on here. I mean, he is tempted here to shortcut God's plans and to trust in his own power, not in the power of God. And listen to how Jesus responds. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. It's an incredible story. And think about this. God led Jesus into the wilderness. God saw Jesus through the wilderness. And then when he got out of the wilderness, God took care of him. And so if you find yourself right now in the wilderness, know that God is right there in the wilderness with you. And he's going to be there with you and provide for you in the wilderness. And as you come out, he's going to be there helping you on the journey out. But if you're in that wilderness right now, if you're there, ask what? Ask, what do you want me to learn, God? What do you want me to discover about my life in this season so that I can be prepared for the next season? God, I am ready. God, I am open. My heart is open. My mind is open. My soul is open. God, mold me. God, shape me. And I tell you, here's what I've learned in my moments in the wilderness, in my seasons in the wilderness. Sometimes the most important thing going on is how God is molding you and shaping you in the middle of that wilderness, not what's happening on the other side of that wilderness. It's those moments where we learn, discover who we are and who our God is. Now, let me just say this, and we all should know this, but let me just say it because sometimes we need to say things out loud that we all know. We all are gonna go through wilderness seasons in our life. And not just one, they're gonna happen over and over and over again. And so if you're not in a wilderness season right now, praise God, thank God, be grateful. But remember that there are people around you who are in the middle of the wilderness and they need your support, they need your encouragement, they need your prayers. Because you never know, they might be coming out of that wilderness as you're going in your wilderness. And you're gonna need them there, walking with you, encouraging you, having your back. And so if you're in a wilderness right now, know that it is not permanent. It is temporary. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give in to temptation. Don't let the devil scare you away. Stand strong. Stand firm. Don't lose hope. Trust in God's provision. Don't jump away from God. Jump towards him. And every single day, lift him and only him up, and he will see you through to the other side. You see, here's what tests do. Tests reveal our weaknesses so we can discover God's strength. I am weak and he is strong. Let me share with you. I went out this week and I bought the new iPad 7. Kids, teenagers, this is an Etch-a-Sketch, all right? And you can go to the Smithsonian and you can see one of these in here, all right? This was entertainment for us old folks when we were kids. And no, Etch-a-Sketches, I loved one of these as a kid. I was horrible in Etch-a-Sketch. I mean, I don't know if some of you guys were really good with it. I mean, I could hardly draw stairs, okay? That's how bad I was. But if you remember the Etch-a-Sketch, I mean, you got this little thing here, and you got complete control of it. You got these two knobs, and one makes the little cursor thing go up and down, and the other one makes it go left and right. And so in your hands, you control what you're drawing. And you can sit there and you can draw all day and you can try to make something that looks good. And like I said, I could never do anything that looked any good at all. I mean, all of my stuff looked like a big, giant mess, you know? And I was thinking this week about the gospel. I was thinking this week about freedom and the freeway. I'm thinking about how our lives sometimes are just kind of like this. How so many times in our life we want to do things our way. We take control of our lives and we try to move ourselves to the left or right or up or down, and we see something in our life that we want and we try to draw that picture of our life. We try to make that thing happen. But if you're like me, when it comes to Etch-a-Sketch, sometimes the picture you get, you're like, ooh, that's not what I was intending to draw. That's not what I was hoping for. That doesn't look as pretty as I thought it would. And sometimes that's where we find ourselves in life. We try things our way. We try to control our life our way and do things our way, and we made a mess of it. But here's the beauty of freedom. Here's the beauty of our God. Here's the beauty of the gospel message. God comes up to you and he says, hey, hand that to me, and you hand it over. God looks at it and says, oh, yeah, yeah. You made a few mistakes there. You should have went left when you went right. And man, if you just would have trusted me there, things would have been a little bit different. But you know what? Here you go. Let's do this again. Let's try this again. My grace is enough. And so let's have a second shot at this. And this time, instead of you controlling these knobs, instead of you controlling your life, why don't you let me? I just want to prosper you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to harm you. I have great things in store for you. That is who our Heavenly Father is. That is the gospel message, and that is the hope of freedom and the freeway. So would you stand with me? Let's go ahead and just come to God with an open and honest prayer as we continue our journey this morning. Jesus, we come to you right now, and we recognize that in our life, sometimes we do make mistakes. And sometimes when we make those mistakes, we put ourselves in bondage. We put ourselves in our own little prison. And maybe it's fear, or maybe it's worry, or maybe it's poor decisions, maybe it's sin, or maybe it's just a lifestyle choice, or whatever it may be. We put ourselves in our own little prison. We feel handcuffed. We feel hopeless. We feel broken. We feel unloved. But the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is that he is our chain breaker. He is the key to freedom in our lives. If we would just seek first the kingdom, we will find righteousness. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for being our chain breaker. Thank you for coming into our lives and giving us hope and giving us forgiveness and giving us mercy. And most of all, Jesus, thank you for your absolutely amazing, amazing grace. Jesus, we love you. We couldn't do this without you. We don't want to do this without you. We need you. Break the chains in our life. Break the bondage in our life. Give us the freedom that we're all desperately looking for. We need you. I am weak and you are strong. And we pray this all in your beautiful and your glorious name, the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.